Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Immediately after taking office, I will ask my generals to present to me a plan within 30 days to defeat and destroy ISIS.
He's talked about letting Syria become a free zone for ISIS. Look at the map, Donald. He's talked about sending in American ground troops. Not on my watch. That is not what we are going to do.
Presidential candidates Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton speaking recently at campaign rallies about one of the big foreign policy issues that faces both of them during the presidential race, and one of them when they become president, and that is the future of ISIS. We're going to be getting our update on the November elections with Mark Hemingway, senior writer for the Weekly Standard. Mark, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be back.
And Molly Hemingway, senior editor for The Federalist. Molly, welcome back to you as well.
It's great to be here with you.
Mark, tonight NBC is touting what they're calling the Commander-in-Chief Forum, wherein on live television, Matt Lauer is going to be asking questions of both candidates. Both candidate Clinton and Trump on the same stage, but not on the same stage at the same time. If you were Matt Lauer, what questions do both of these candidates need to be asked tonight live on television?
Well, that's a bit of a tough one, considering both how both candidates are so good at dissembling and not actually answering the question. But I think in Hillary's case, what I would ask her is I would, you know, talk about specific instances in the past, like, for instance, there has been this issue with this sailor that just got sentenced for taking, you know, 6 photos of a submarine violating the lowest level of classified information. And then there have been issues like in the past of political scandals like Scooter Libby, for instance, you know, in the Bush administration did jail time for, you know, obstruction of justice, being tripped up in lies in the middle of an FBI investigation. And ask Hillary Clinton, how is it that she seems to be above the law? You know, why is it that other people are constantly tripped up by things that she and the Clintons clearly seem to evade? And as for Donald Trump, I mean, I would simply just try and drill down in more specifics about his immigration policy. I would, you know, go through the contradictory statements that he's been, you know, issuing for weeks, and, you know, try and drill down as much as possible on the practical implications of, you know, strictly enforcing the law such that, you know, 12 million people would be deported, and see what he says. You know, with Donald Trump, though, it's such a grab bag. It's you know, hard to, you know, pin him down on anything.
One of the things about this forum tonight is that it's not a traditional debate. It should be more of a conversation, and I think that's actually a great, rare opportunity to... I don't think they're going to be on at the same time. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work. But these two candidates have very different views on foreign policy. And I think foreign policy has been one of the undercovered issues of this election season. A lot of the unrest in the Republican Party is frustration with how we have been fighting wars, how we've been engaged in conflict. And Donald Trump, who, as Mark just said, is somewhat contradictory when he speaks on some of these issues, does at times articulate a very different foreign policy. Even in recent days, he was condemning George W. Bush for how he handled the Iraq war. Hillary Clinton was an early strong supporter of that war. Then she was actually against the surge, which is one of the few things that people seem to think went well about the Iraq war. They really have different visions for how and when we should be involved in other countries. And I'd like to just hear them talk about it, not in a gotcha sense, not in a you're a bad person or here, you know, here's what you've said that's contradictory or whatnot, but just really learn more about their different approaches and how they might govern if they were elected president.
So you'd be looking for kind of an open-ended conversation on the general philosophy of foreign policy, looking for some consistency from both of those candidates, Molly.
Well, one of the problems with the way that we do presidential debates or presidential forums is that journalists have become way too much of the story. They want to trip up a candidate. They want to go after a candidate. They are particularly notorious for doing this on the Republican side of the aisle, but it's not as informative as I think journalists think it's going to be, and it's very annoying, and they get in there and they want to drive the outcome of the evening. And I think Americans are, you know, there's a lot that is wrong in 2016 in our political process, but we really do have a genuine choice between different types of people here, and it would be, and, you know, it's kind of, people are coming along from different perspectives. I mean, you would never have expected that the Republican nominee would be this brutal attacker of George W. Bush and his policy. And yet here we are. And you wouldn't expect all these people who did support George W. Bush to get behind Hillary Clinton. And yet they are, largely because of how they think she would be better in foreign policy. So all those normal barriers that we have in divisions are kind of broken down. And I do think it would be a good chance to just learn more about their different approaches.
Mark, how do you explain the two candidates kind of trading places in the polls, and that is Clinton falling, Trump rising?
Well, they're just, you know, again, the Hillary scandal has just been unrelenting. You know, Donald Trump's negatives are still high. Her negatives are always high, but, you know, her negatives are a little softer than Donald Trump's because she doesn't have sort of hard and fast opposition from certain minority voting groups and other things like that. So she can sort of rise or fall depending on what's in the news. And, you know, we saw with that big document dump the Friday before Labor Day, I mean, just it seems like every time you think, okay, well, we know everything about this scandal and she couldn't possibly have lied more. Well, it comes out she lied more and she continually confounded our expectations for, like, how corrupt and awful she could be. But, you know, we're already seeing, you know, even before the FBI poll, though, you know, there was enough little minor breaks in the FBI story that we saw that her unfavorability rating in polls like ABC News reached an all-time high. And then this latest round of revelations broke, you know, where she was destroying emails that were apparently under subpoena to her saying that she couldn't remember the briefing information about how to handle classified information because she had a concussion at a time when her campaign was trying to say that attacks on her health were unfair. It's just, you know, her negatives really seem to, you know, not have, you know, settled down or found the limit yet.
Except it's also true that she's doing, there are two ways of looking at the polls. Nationally, it's totally a toss-up, but we don't do national elections. We do state-based elections. We have an electoral college, and it would be nice for the media to remember that. And as things currently stand, according to state polls, she's still in a pretty safe place. So we have to keep that in mind when we're discussing polls. At the same time, I just want to point out that for a race that is even with, you know, one candidate taking the lead and then the next and vice versa, the media coverage is totally uneven. They are treating Donald Trump like he's an unacceptable candidate and Hillary Clinton like she's a perfectly normal candidate. In fact, both candidates are pretty unique in American history in terms of their unlikability, what Mark was just talking about. And it would be nice for the media coverage to be more even. Give more credit to the legitimate issues that Donald Trump raises and don't act like Hillary Clinton is not uniquely corrupt or has all these problems that go back decades.
The other issue there, though, is simply that they're treating the problems of Trump and the problems of Hillary Clinton on equal footing, and they're just simply not. It's not to say that you shouldn't be suspicious of the things that Donald Trump has done or the things that he's done are troubling from the perspective of a voter, but he's never held office. You know, he's never been subject to the specific public responsibilities that come with office and therefore hasn't violated that trust. Hillary Clinton has violated that trust again and again and again and again, and from the perspective of someone looking to put them in the highest office of the land, you know, it sounds incredible to say, but Trump probably deserves more of the benefit of the doubt in that regard than Hillary Clinton. You know, again, we're clearing a very low bar when I say that, but it really is astonishing. We're talking about, you know, actual demonstrable criminal behavior involving this email scandal, as opposed to, you know, Trump's, you know, not running a good business or, you know, maybe not telling the truth about things.
Molly, you have written recently, I thought it was a brilliant take on kind of the way the media is working in this very odd, very never before seen presidential race, in effect letting Donald Trump kind of run interference for them and dismissing questions that he raises just because he raises them. What are some of those questions?
Well, there's been a problem going way back in this campaign where the media just get roiled very easily by whatever Donald Trump is saying, but they don't really deal with the substance of what he's saying. And there were a few things that came up in recent days where you saw that because of the fact that he brought them up or the way he brought them up, which is frequently very poorly, they just use that as an excuse to not cover it. So something like Hillary Clinton's health. Obviously, this is a focal point for Donald Trump, and he's not very politically correct about how he approaches the topic of whether she's healthy or not. And so they just focus on that he's attacking her, but then they don't actually look at whether there are health questions there. The email dump that came out last Friday that had an FBI report that clearly kind of linked her health problems with her inability to remember briefings and claims that she couldn't remember things and whatnot related to her blood clot that she had last year that caused her to miss work and whatnot. That's an actual legitimate health question. It doesn't mean she shouldn't be president, but it's a legitimate health question like you saw raised with other candidates who had health problems. But because he brought it up, they don't talk about it. Instead, they say, in fact, that you shouldn't talk about it. Right now, the Washington Post has a piece up about why you shouldn't talk about it by the guy who wrote why you should talk about John McCain's health issues. And it's just, you know, stuff like that, or when Donald Trump says the election may be rigged, everybody really got mad, and on CNN in particular, they said he was unpatriotic and dangerous and a threat to democracy. And then a few days later, you have calls from the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, to possibly overtake the election system because there are worries about Russia rigging the election. And, you know, just because Donald Trump raised it and raised it poorly doesn't mean that it isn't a legitimate issue. Same goes for, and I thought this was interesting, when President Obama went to China, he was kind of humiliated on the tarmac. They didn't bring out the traditional rolling staircase. We had to go out of the rear of a plane, and then when they got down on the ground, there were fights between Chinese officials and U.S. officials, and it was widely regarded as a snub of President Obama, and the media couldn't even ignore it. They were writing about it. But then Donald Trump talks about it, and all of a sudden they say, oh, it was just a logistical flub. It wasn't a snub and whatnot. And, you know, it's just, it's not healthy to view really important issues like our relationship with China through the prism of who it helps politically, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, because when you do that, you risk missing really big problems and increasing tensions between superpowers. And our media should focus on what's more important than, you know, even just this presidential election.
Molly Hemingway, senior editor for The Federalist, and Mark Hemingway, senior writer for The Weekly Standard. We're getting our weekly update on the November elections when we come back. WikiLeaks' Julian Assange, who is now the go-to person on most things Clinton, says there might be another big release from him next week. We'll talk about that after this.
The Church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit memoriapressacademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're getting our weekly update on the November elections with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of the Federalist. Molly, I'd like your thoughts on Julian Assange. He has said, in kind of typical fashion, his oblique predictions that Clinton leaks might be released next week. We always expect something of a bombshell there. What are your thoughts on his role in this election?
Okay, first off, it's very weird how everybody seems to have switched sides on what they think about Julian Assange. So a few years ago when he was releasing documents that were very harmful to the, you know, foreign policy and diplomatic work of the Bush administration, the Bush administration folks and their allies were saying that he's a very dangerous figure, and liberals were cheering him on. And now all of a sudden, since his leaks have been mostly focused on the Democratic National Committee, Hillary Clinton, you've just seen a complete reversal, including sometimes the same people, like Sean Hannity interviewed him last night, and I want to mention what he said on the show, but he used to be a strong critic of Julian Assange, who's being detained in the Ecuadorian embassy in London and is accused of all sorts of things in addition to his work with WikiLeaks in terms of his personal behavior and whatnot. And last night, Sean Hannity was cheering him on. Now, what was interesting, the most interesting thing I thought about the interview last night was that Julian Assange pointed out that Hillary Clinton has claimed that she didn't understand classification systems. She didn't know the C for confidential. She didn't know it meant confidential. She thought it was a like an alphabetizing system. And this is deeply problematic on numerous levels, mainly that you get, you know, she's the Secretary of State, so she should understand how classification works. She's trained on this annually. It's a requirement of our laws governing classification that anyone dealing with confidential classified information understands how it works. So it would be problematic, you know, just on those grounds. But Assange pointed out last night that she herself had sent emails, you know, on her own where they were marked with the thing that she claimed was an alphabetizing system. So he caught her red-handed in a lie. And that is a major thing that should be covered by our media instead of, you know, focusing on some other latest drama. I do not know about what these latest leaks will be, and the thing that also should be kept in mind is there are a lot of rumors about Julian Assange working with Russians. There's no evidence, but there's a lot of speculation about that. And if you are concerned about Russian involvement in the U.S. electoral process, you have to also be worried that in addition to, you know, WikiLeaks document dumps, that things will be leaked that are less secret and more, you know, cyber warfare or whatnot. And so people should be on guard about anything coming out of WikiLeaks.
Mark, let's talk a little bit about Trump's stated plan to boost the U.S. military.
Yeah. Well, you know, this has been a huge concern for Republicans. But, you know, Republicans have sort of tended to be for defense spending, you know, and there's been a lot of concern about the lessening of American military's capabilities. At the same time, recently we saw this news where there was a leaked Pentagon memo where basically the Pentagon was laying out its political strategy to go after Paul Ryan and other congressional Republicans politically if they didn't get what they want. You know, Trump is, you know, sensing a lot of unease, I suspect, from Republicans about, you know, the foreign policy situation writ large. And, you know, certainly boosting the military will poll well. The problem is, though, is that we see with Republicans going back and forth on this and the Pentagon not liking the fact that Paul Ryan is setting up cuts, it's that oftentimes the defense budget has nothing to do with the actual military capabilities that Americans need. And I just don't have a lot of confidence that Donald Trump is going to be able to chart a middle course between cutting back on the Pentagon pork and at the same time beefing up the areas where American military capabilities have clearly dissipated. You know, we've used all our Tomahawk missiles or whatever the problems are. It's interesting that Trump is bringing this up now, given his more sort of, small C conservative, less interventionist foreign policy stance relative to traditional Republicans. But I don't know. It's like any other big policy issue that Trump takes on. What are the specifics? And we just don't know anything about that.
Molly, I was doing something else over the weekend, but they were playing B-roll on television of Trump's appearance at a Detroit church. First of all, just kind of him standing there with the audience as they were singing. And, I would look incredibly uncomfortable in those circumstances, too. He certainly did as well. What about what he had to say there to that Detroit church and that appearance? Why is that important to him and his campaign?
Right. Donald Trump's numbers with minorities are very low for a Republican. And, he was someone who really criticized previous Republican candidates for not doing better with minorities. So it's kind of embarrassing for him that he's doing so poorly, although perhaps not surprising given his rhetoric, particularly, with immigration and whatnot. But even with black voters who, of course, went really high for Obama, but are not as stuck with Hillary Clinton. I mean, there are polls sometimes showing that he has no African-American support. So his campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway, senses that this is a problem. And even pulling a few percentages from black populations to get behind him would be huge for him. I mean, Donald Trump has pretty good numbers with white people, but really needs to get some better support from minority populations. So doing these types of outreach events, going into a black church and just speaking with people, hearing their concerns, it's very rare to see this type of thing from Donald Trump, but it might pay off. I don't think we know yet how it's going, but it's something that a lot of Republicans have said needed to be improved. In the 2012 campaign, Paul Ryan really wanted to kind of just do a minority outreach tour as the vice presidential candidate. He wanted to just go into different inner city environments and whatnot and just talk to people who really tend not to vote Republican. And Mitt Romney totally squashed that. And so it's nice to at least see someone in the Republican Party doing it. I don't know if it's too little, too late.
Folks, you can follow the Hemingways on Twitter. Mark at Heminator, that's Heminator, and Molly at MZ Hemingway. Mark Hemingway is senior writer for the Weekly Standard. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Molly Hemingway is senior editor for The Federalist. Molly, thank you.
Thank you. See you next week.
The Issues Etc. book of the month for September is called Celebrating the Saints. The author alone should recommend it to you. A regular guest on the program, Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You'll find it at our website on every page, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order this excellent devotional resource from Pastor Will Whedon, Celebrating the Saints, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for September, Celebrating the Saints by Pastor Will Whedon. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll resume our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. We'll be talking with Dr. Ken Cherb about Martin Luther and the Sermon on the Mount. We're actually going to be spending quite some time with Dr. Ken Cherb dealing with Luther's Matthew sermons, kind of getting a flavor of what Luther was preaching during the Reformation. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. I'll talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.